and welcome to See the World with Ajala Nene, a podcast that takes you on a journey across Nigeria and Africa to explore the country and the continent's diverse and vibrant culture. Our esteemed guests will share their experiences and insights into the local tourism scene, from hidden gems to must-see attractions. So grab a cup of coffee and join us as we see the world with Ajala Nene. Whether you're planning a trip to Nigeria or Africa, or simply want to explore and experience the continent from the comfort of your own home, this podcast is for you. So sit back, relax, and let's explore Nigeria and Africa together. Senu, welcome to the Wonderless Wonder segment on the See the World with Ajala Nene podcast. This is where we'll spotlight tourist sites in Africa and beyond. Our spotlight today is Agodi Gardens, also called Agodi Botanical Gardens. This tourist attraction is located in the city of Ibadan, Oyo State, Nigeria. This green oasis of peace in Ibadan draws local and travelers to its many attractions. You can spotlight turtles, monkeys, and peacocks at the Agodi Zoo, have a blast at the water park, stroll through the beautiful landscape woods, go on a horse ride, and have a luxurious leisure picnic on their luxurious lawn. There's even a paintball arena where you can have a face-off or even catch a tournament. Looking for a green land to hang out with your loved ones? Then look no further. Agodi Gardens is your green location. Okay, our next guest is waiting on the other side. Let's go. Sanu Uno, welcome to See the World with Ajala Nene. And today I have a very beautiful lady. She's always making me want to travel around the world, right? And what I love about her is that she's a corporate person. She's a lawyer.
Yeah.
And then she's also traveling around the world. Like, if you go to her Instagram page, you'll be jealous. Also, hi.
You will be inspired, not jealous.
Okay, I'm not telling you the truth. Okay, so yes, I'm inspired. If I wasn't inspired, do you think I'd bring you here?
I know.
I'll be thinking about that woman that's always traveling. I'll be jealous. No, now. All right, guys. And she loves pink, so that's why those of you watching YouTube, I put this thing here to brighten enough, up. You know, see how pink she's pink. It's bright like a flower.
And yellow, not pink.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why it looks like I like pink.
Because most times I always see pink everywhere.
It's not like I like
it. I've known you for like 4 years and it's always pink I always see. Oh. You see?
Yeah.
So don't blame us when we are pink.
But I prefer yellow. I think I'm more of a blue and yellow person.
Blue and yellow. And they're still bright now. So they go with the pink. Okay. All right. So Otto Tom is a distinguished corporate compliance attorney with a proven track record of delivering strategic legal counsel to top-tier corporations across diverse industries. Outside legal realm, she's an avid traveler who views exploration as a powerful vehicle for growth and learning. And she actually, through her platform, that's the Workaholic. Also empowers others to embrace adventure, expand their worldview, and find meaning beyond borders. She's also the author of Girls Don't Travel Just for Flowers. I love that book. It's a novel inspired by true events, and it blends fiction with raw, real life emotions. Otto.
Hi.
Hi, girl.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
So the question I always ask people, why travel? I know you're a legal person, but what inspired you to start the Workaholic and also to write this book? But let's start with the Workaholic first. What's got you there?
Now, for me, travel is that thing that gives me joy.
Mm.
And when you say why travel, I think it's one of the most intense form of learning and freedom.
Okay.
And it's a gift that you can give to yourself.
Mm.
So I love traveling, and for me, it's about connecting with other people. Because if you grow up in a small town, you know, and then you know a certain way of doing things, if you're not expanding, you would think that you're the,
you know it all.
You know it all. But when you travel, you just realize how the more you learn, you know, you realize that, you know, the more you don't know. Mm-hmm. So you just keep learning. Mm-hmm. And I think it's actually liberating, you know. So travel for me, it's, you know, it gives me freedom. It's something I love to do. I love the aspect of, you know, going, not just seeing places, mm-hmm. connecting with other people, yeah. seeing how things are done, and then coming back home and, you know,
sharing
kind of, yes, like, mine, not even sharing it. It affects my lifestyle every day. Let's talk about, let's say, like recipes. You know, you go somewhere in Brazil and then you find out how common, you know, we share in terms of, you know, the cuisines. Culture, and then you come back home, and then if you're making something, you try and adapt, you know, you put a little bit of what you learned and then you improve on what you have. So I love the freedom that comes, you know, with seeing the world, yeah. you know, connecting with other people, learning.
It's important.
And expanding my network, because I will tell you, the, you know, the number of acquaintances that have become friends and also clients, because somebody wants to do business in Nigeria and they're like, okay, I know a lawyer somewhere in Nigeria, you know,
one time like
so
that.
Let me have this conversation with her. So I think, you know, like they say, the world is a book, you know, and people who travel read numerous pages. So I love the opportunity to be able to do that.
And it also makes you open-minded.
Yes, it does. Because
if you're close-minded, you find yourself like recently I was talking to somebody who says he's an Ifa worshipper. Mm-hmm. They named that before, like, hey, oh, I cannot come near him. But because I have explored and I've gotten to understand that cultures are different. I'm more open. So I may not agree with your perspective.
You don't even have to, you know. Like I recall I was when I went to Bali and then I woke up a few times and had people, you know, making incantations outside my door. You know, it's not evil, because according to them, they were doing like a cleansing ritual. And then they have this, you know, they just have this little places where they put like sacrifices, like they call it gifts, you know, but it was strange to me. And then waking up and having people like making incantations outside.
I said, hey, oh, God forbid.
And I just looked at it. I'm like, you know, most of them are Hindus, but then I don't have to agree with whatever they do. It's their lifestyle. It's their religion. You know, they are not necessarily bad people.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I don't need to agree. I just need to go home.
just respect them. You came to my country. Respect that. And then
go home. So you are correct. It actually makes you open-minded.
So what inspired you to start traveling? Where did this love for travel come from?
For me, it was maybe my network of friends. It was me just viewing pictures when I watch movies, you know, and then, you know, you watch the news, you know, where they advertise pictures of, you know, really nice destinations, and then just dreaming of wanting to go to those places. So for me, it started like a dream, like, oh, I want to see the world. I want to, you know, initially it was just about, okay, I want to travel. But by the time I traveled, and then I wasn't traveling to go, you know, be in all those luxury places.
Yes,
I was traveling to meet other people who, some of them were students, because I was a lot younger then.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were students, some of them were, you know, young people, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I saw how they were traveling. It was different from how I knew it. It wasn't just about me, oh, seeing a place, I'm like, oh, I want to go there. I realized that when I started traveling, those places were expensive. I couldn't afford to, you know, all the luxury places they show you on TV. I couldn't afford it. But then I found people that were even traveling, they were not staying in those places, but they were getting, the experience was deeper.
Yes.
And then
immersive travel.
Yes, immersive travel. So that's what changed it for me. It was like, look, these people don't have a lot and they're still able to travel. How can I make that happen for myself? And then the more trips I took, I realized that, look, this is not just a hobby. This is bigger than what it is, you know, and it has made my life a lot better. I don't know that I can scream that out loud.
Yeah.
It has made my life, you know, better in terms of the exposure, you know, even you know, when it comes to work. I think it is a gift, the best gift I have given myself, you know.
So why did you start The Workaholic? What made you, what inspired you to start it?
Now, when I started traveling, it was just a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
But when it became more,
mm-hmm.
I decided to create a platform where I could express myself and also.
So was it more like a travel blog or?
Yeah, it started as a travel blog where I could express myself and then ultimately make money from it. Because I knew that my salary, you know, alone could not fund my travel lifestyle.
Yeah.
So I had to think of other ways where I could turn all that passion into, you know,
so you're saying it's the fact that you could not really sponsor the way you wanted to travel. That's why you decided to create a
tour. Yes.
I wanted it to be more. You know, for me, I wanted it to be more. And me starting,
so not that your friend came and say,
No, not at all. Okay. At first, it was me trying to find the platform where I could express myself. Okay. And then I realized blogging was it. Mm-hmm. And then the moment you start doing that thing, it's like, okay, people, I can make money from, when you join those travel forums, they tell you you can make money from this passion.
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, it was to expand the platform where I could, you know, express myself, be heard, be seen, and then also I would derive benefits from it. So that's where, you know, the workaholic came from. It was me wanting to share my story. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, from there, I just kept adding to it, you know, because from the blog, I went to YouTube. Mm-hmm. And then I decided, okay, well, how can I help people? How can I use my story to help people? And then I started the YouTube channel where I was, you know, telling them about my visa, you know, information, telling them about my experiences. And then it grew bigger. People were interested because they had problems. And then I was providing value solution. In terms of solutions. Yeah. So they wanted to know how to go about it. They wanted to learn. And then I was giving that information freely because on that platform, you are able to monetize, you know, if you're doing it right.
Yeah. And that's YouTube.
On YouTube. Yeah. So, and that's how, you know.
You said, how old is the workaholic right now?
2015, I believe.
That'll be 10 years.
Yeah, I think it was 2015.
Yeah, 10 years this year.
Funny enough, like, I remember I used to write an article every anniversary. I don't know why I stopped, you know.
Talking
about blogging, how in a lot of the misconceptions, like, oh, anyone who blogs, you know, most blogs don't make it through the first five years. You know, and then each year I overcame that. Mm-hmm. I wrote about it. I'm still blogging, you know, but you know, it's gone beyond that. But I'm still writing, you know, and then it's surprising that it's like 10 years already.
Baby girl, please go and write your article for 10 years. I'm glad that I reminded you that it's 10 years.
Yeah, and I love that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank
you. All right, so let's go to you.
Oh, my baby.
Guys, so I was on my own, minding my business. Then my baby girl, Faith, enters my DM and says, Ma, one lady called Ototo. I said, I know Ototo now. She said, yeah, she's writing a book. I said, really? And I'm very skeptical about books like this. Let me be very honest with you, because I've read some of them and none of them really inspired me. So when she told me, I was like, okay, I know Ototo. I follow her. I was like, okay, a travel book. I said, okay, fine. She said, would you like to review the book? I said, okay. Let her know. Then we entered my DM, sent me the book when I first started. And this is my honest feel. I was like, okay, all right. Then I started entering. I started seeing things. I said, oh my God. And every page I read now, I was like, oh my God, yes. I want to go here. Oh, she did that. And in my mind, I was reading you. I wasn't reading your character. It was you I was seeing in the book. And I was like, okay, finally a travel book by an African lady that I can relate to.
I love
it. And like I said, I give my honest feedback. Guys, this book, Girls Don't Travel Just for Flowers. Where's my poster? I told you it's a great poster for this now.
Do you know I have forgotten? Okay, but please. I will do it. You know, I will.
Please, because I told you I used the book on my table. My daughter comes and says, oh, mommy, I want it. I said, yeah, we'll travel. Don't worry. So please tell us more about this, your beautiful book. That is pink in color yellow effect.
I have spoken so much about this book that I just feel like, I don't know. Now, I wanted to write. Like I said, I love writing.
When I can attest to your writing skills.
Yeah.
With your blog.
When I started traveling, I wanted to express myself. And then, of course, I had the blog. And then I got to YouTube. I was talking. I like to talk too. YouTube and then I was talking. And then I always wanted to write a book.
Okay.
But initially, I did not know what the final product would be. But I just knew I wanted to tell the story. And most of it, I am not going to deny. Mm-hmm. It is, even though it's a blend of fiction, but it's based on a true story. And some of the stories, you know, they're personal to me. And so I wanted to tell it in a way that people would relate. Like, I love that when you said, okay, finally a book that I can actually, you can see yourself there. Yes. Then you can, you know.
Yeah.
And so I started writing.
How long did it take you to write this book?
I think I said it during the book launch. It was, I would say,
under 2 years.
I would say I procrastinated for 3 years. But once I picked up, I committed to do it. It took me less than 3 months.
You see?
To send it to my editor. And so, Girls Don't Travel Just for Flowers. I wanted to tell my story. But I also wanted to tell it in a way that, because not every experience, I haven't experienced it all. There are certain things that are still, you know, but because I wanted to tell it in a way that someone else would relate, yeah. You know, that's why I brought in the fiction part of it, because there's a part of it, there's a very little part of it that is fiction, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. But most of it is a real story. You wouldn't even notice. That's just to give it for the completeness of the story, you know, of the story. And that's why I thought of writing this book, to tell my story, because when you travel
as a black woman,
it is deep.
Very deep.
And I wouldn't just say as a black woman, because there are black women everywhere. As a Nigerian passport holder.
Ew.
I need a world, you know. I need like a, what should I say? It is.
Ammo.
Yes, because if you've done it, trust me, you can do. When people say we're the same, you're not the same with the average person.
No.
You have conquered a lot. Mm-hmm. You have, you know, because there's so many things that would make it impossible for the average Nigerian traveler to travel.
Yes.
Number one, the economy. It is expensive for us.
Yeah.
Others would, and you need cash to travel. There's no credit. It's cash and go.
Unlike the Western world.
Unlike the Western world where you can put everything on credit and then come back, walk and pay for it. This one is different. It's the other way around. You walk and then you pay for your trips. And then picking up a green passport, and already you're black, and then traveling with a green passport, we are the exception to the rules. Every time there is a rule, everyone can come in, except you would find we always make it on the exception. Very few countries.
I know I asked this question during your book, but I want you to share here.
I think we are the problem, and I'm not going to shy away from that. We are the problem, because you would find where countries open their doors, you know, to people with genuine intentions, mm-hmm. and then you would find the ones that would come and spoil it. So I know it's easy for us to blame the government. I'm not saying the government is perfect. Mm-hmm. They have their own. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying that we as a people, we also create those problems. And when we do it, we're selfish. We think of ourselves.
Yeah.
We don't think of the people coming, how our actions would affect the people. Yes, would we'll affect like the people seashells. Coming. So I'm saying we have to do better. I'm sure the people who do it will say, oh, whoa, I've been suffering for so long. The government is not helping me. I finally helped myself. You help yourself.
Mm.
But I'm saying if we keep thinking like that, we would keep destroying our country.
Yeah.
So I'm saying let's do better. You know, you're going somewhere where you say you would come back. Know. You would say, okay, there's nothing there. I don't know how to respond to that, but it's our country, you know. And if you keep making these errors, then you're making it difficult
for us.
And then you're still, wherever you're going to, you're still going to be.
Yeah, and it's going to be a second class. You're still going to have problems in those countries because you're not there legally, especially.
Yes, I know.
And those who are there legally are not getting it easy.
You know, and I'm saying that, you know, I live in Nigeria. Most times when I tell people I live in Nigeria, they look at me like, they travel, they come back. I'm like, this is home for me. And there's a reason why. I'm saying the opportunities here at home. Mm-hmm. I know it is not open to, as in everyone doesn't have access to it at the same time. But I'm saying it comes around. It's like the rain. Everyone gets a touch of it. So if you keep at it, if you're consistent, it would come around. If you plug in and you're consistent, it will come around. I find people very down one day, and then I see them 5 years down the line. I'm like, this is the same person. I'm telling you, the opportunities here in Nigeria, if there were no opportunities, you will not see so many expatriates in here. You will not see a lot of foreigners. You know, you get why.
I just ask people, I don't know why the Lebanese are still here.
People don't want to leave. There are
opportunities.
Because we have it here. So I'm saying that we are the pretty, as a government, you know, has its own, but we as a people, we are the problem, you know. And then, so it really hurts because I'm trying to publish my book on so many platforms. And trust me, there are very limited platforms that are accepting me because I am Nigerian.
Oh my goodness.
I'm serious, you know, because I am Nigerian.
Despite your wealth of travel.
They don't care about you because some of them don't even take the time. It looks like it's a scripted robot, you know. The moment you key in anything that indicates you're Nigerian, they tell you they're sorry, they are not able to deal with you. So I'm saying it goes beyond. We think we're just, you know, doing, we think it's surface, but I'm telling you it's deeper.
Deeper than that.
It's a lot deeper than that. Doors are being shut against us, especially when you have genuine intentions. It makes you angry. You know, it makes me tear up sometimes, like, why?
And I have a Nigerian passport. I'm not going anywhere, you know. Mm-hmm. It makes me tear up. So this book is my baby. Yeah, it is a dream I've always had to write a travel book that people want to read. And it's not just travel. You know, there is
wisdom in them.
Can
I read one of them?
Yes, my please. Favorite. You know, there's my so much favorite. Here
I
that
I did it.
The average person.
By the way, guys, she invited me to do her book, to her book launch. And I had the honor, like I said, she gave me the book to read. I had honor of doing the book reading.
Review, brilliant.
Review and
brilliant.
Yeah,
brilliant like, session.
Yes. I mean, like, what did you expect? Like, I know. But anyway, let me read my favorite part. All right, so that's in, I can't remember the chapter, but page 168. And it said, if something good happens to you, travel to celebrate. If something bad happens to you, travel to forget. If nothing happens to you, travel so that something happens. Like, this thing hits me so hard. Like, can you see this book? I have all the tags there, but this one I went to put special it. Put it there. Yeah. What inspired you to write? I know you say you got this quote from someone. We don't know who the person is. But I know that you also share your story. You had a personal experience with family.
Yes.
And my condolences again.
Yes.
But can you share more about this, please?
Now, this particular paragraph, I'm sure it led to the part where I talked about grief. Now, there's something I learned. I lost a sister in March of 2021, you know, March 12th, 2021, on the, you know, when you, it was an avoidable death.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I think those kind of deaths are more painful than any other one. When you know you could have avoided
this
one.
Mm-hmm.
If you had done things different, it would have been different. And so I recall at the time after I lost my sister, I had never lost anyone close to me. Normally, mm-hmm. I had close people that, you know, maybe died in the past, and I just used to look at them and just and for some reason I had this arrogance, you know, where I felt like I was exempted.
Mm.
Like my family and I, we were exempted from all these things, you know, just I don't know where it came from, maybe from the religious background. You just feel you're exempted. Immune. Because you are anyway. Life has taught me different.
Yeah.
These things, you know, just happen, and they happen to anyone. You know, you're not doing anything spectacular to make it not happen to you. Yes, your faith is good, build on it, but things will still happen even to good people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I learned about the word grief retreat.
At the time.
I also had a friend who lost a mother maybe like a year ago. And then in that whole, I was the rallying point for my family in terms, because my sister lived with me when she moved to Lagos. She was an engineer, you know, and then she got married. She left my place. And then, you know, I was the closest person to family, you know, here.
Mm.
She was my younger sister, way younger sister. And so when she died, my mom was with me. My mom was in the hospital when she died. I had to ignore my emotions and be strong for everyone else. Because everyone, you know, just everything. I was a rallying point. And so I went through that whole period. And then after the funeral, I came back to Lagos. And that's when my own grief
started.
Because I was done being strong for everyone else. Yeah. And I had to deal with what had happened. And so it was built up of, it was different levels of grief. Anger, you know, I had gone through the denial point, anger and all that. And then I wanted to get away. And then I learned, just reading, you know, just learn about the word grief retreat. You know, most times it's organized, but in my own case, it was just me and a group of friends. You know, we decided, okay, let's go away. And most of that trip, even though they were the best companion I probably would have ever had, because it was a mix of really the people I needed at that point in my life. But it was most of that trip was us sitting down and talking about life. And for me, it was a place where I could vent. We went to Zanzibar.
Why Zanzibar?
I wanted somewhere serene where I could relax, you know, where I could slow down, you know, nature, being in nature, and then reflect, you know, sober retreat, sober reflection. Mm. And that's why it was Zanzibar. We always wanted, well, it was always on the list. And then the opportunity, you know, I'm like,
okay,
Zanzibar it is. So we took a beach resort. Lovely. And it was peaceful.
Mm.
And so most of what we did was we were talking. About, like, I was talking a lot. Because I was talking and then I was crying. But I was in the midst of people
who had, like, I have another friend who lost the mom, had a similar experience, and then it was helpful. It was really helpful. I also had another friend who was a clown, and so she brought the
there was a balance
because it wasn't a sad trip. There was so much laughter.
But I needed to go away.
And so I learned of the word grief retreat, and I realized what that did, you know, for me. And trust me, after that, it felt like there was a ticking time on, you know, on my life, and I decided to go, you know, just move away, you know, further. And I traveled I went to like almost 15 or 17 countries. It just felt like I was on a time. I didn't want to save my money anymore. I just wanted to use the money and do the things I wanted to do.
Life is
that was me dealing with grief. So this, you know, came, this inspiration came from that experience, how, you know, travel healed me. Well, healed a part of me, because it's a healing process. I don't tell, after 4 years, how many years now? I think it's about 4 years. It's still, I wouldn't tell you I am healed, but it's a new normal for me. You know, I've learned to carry my grief with me and think of it, what, because you never really forget them. Once you love them, they're part of you. There'll be a day in your life where you're going to break down and cry like it just happened yesterday.
My dad has been gone for like 16, 17 years.
You still miss
and
him.
And I still cry.
Yeah. But it gets better.
Him. It gets better.
Carrying
tears, not the tear of like,
yes,
why did you go? Did you more like,
it's different.
I'm sad, but I'm happy I have these memories.
Yeah. So I'm carrying it better now. People say, you know, when we're very religious, people say, oh, no, forget the past. I'm like, I'm in touch with reality. I'm not a clown to think that feelings are not there.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, I'm carrying it better. I still hurt.
Yeah.
There are reminders. There are daily reminders. But I'm saying travel
helped heal you.
To heal me. And there are so many other things that I was able to channel into, because it made me more empathetic. Even traveling, when I see people and then I see what they're going through, because I can relate to that experience.
Yeah.
I bring it into play.
So why would you tell someone to get this book?
I'm saying it's the one book you need if you have a dream that you're finding it very difficult to pursue. This book would inspire you, because this girl saw impossible situations, and then she went for it. It is a light read, but with very, very deep
meanings
that would it will make you happy. It would also make you sad. It will make you laugh. It will make you cry. All your emotions
make you
come
excited.
To play. It will make you excited. And trust me, there's so many destinations you don't even, the unbeaten path.
The one I loved was do you call that group of people in the eastern part of Europe? There's a group name, they call them again. That there are countries that normally people know
the Balkans.
The Balkans.
Yeah.
I said, what? So there's a group of people calling that countries that you don't even know.
So it's not regular places like you expect. There are places that you did not even know existed.
And they're
so
beautiful.
You're going to learn. And
yes.
The people
and everything.
You know, they want to see you, you know.
I wish I could continue talking about the book, but let's try and wrap up. So what are three things that people don't know about you? I always like this question. I like the way everybody
always passes because they have to think of what they want to share.
Yes. Three things people don't know about you.
Oh, well, I have four sisters. I'm going to play safe. I'm going to do the kindergarten style.
What's your position?
I'm number three.
Oh. All right, you have four sisters. No brother.
I have two brothers and then my younger brothers. You
okay. Know. Cute.
I'm all from... Right. Well, maybe most people don't know, but when I started out, when I was in school, and then I was, before I went to law school, just between when I was in school, I used to act.
Yeah.
Yes, I tried. Yeah, I did. I did a few movies. It was just youthful jump around. Yeah, I did.
So you didn't try to pursue Lollywood?
No, it wasn't my thing.
Did you still want to do it?
No.
You did not,
no,
just
I found purpose.
You found purpose.
I found purpose in, you know.
But that's nice.
Yeah, I did. I used to. So, you know, that's something. I got you there. So I did that when I was a student. And then I just got it out.
I can find
system.
And go and watch.
No, I'm even ashamed. I'm even ashamed. Don't worry about it. Move on.
Okay.
Move on.
Okay. Number three.
Ah,
we can talk about the color part.
I prefer yellow to pink.
Yeah, but I still don't believe you.
I know.
But let me tell you,
that's something people don't know about
it's
me.
Pink, I prefer yellow. I can see some small yellow shower, but
I prefer yellow to pink. So that's number three.
Why did you not now use pink for the book if you prefer yellow?
Because I think that was my graphic designer. You know,
like, I was thinking like girls, you know, and then thought that pink was a color. Yeah, so that was
those of you watching YouTube, I purposely put this pink because I thought she likes pink. But no problem, I can forgive you. All right, so my next question is two destinations.
Yeah.
You would tell people to go, that it's the must. One in Nigeria and one outside Nigeria.
Oh my God, in Nigeria, go to Akwa Ibom.
Now that she's from, that is why she's saying
no.
That.
No.
Where are you from?
Akwa Ibom.
And now I said that you are from Akwa Ibom now. That is why you are saying they should go now.
No, what's the reason why they should go?
What's the reason?
You see how I was talking about Zanzibar?
Yeah.
Where I wanted somewhere serene and peaceful. I'm saying Akwa Ibom is the Zanzibar of Nigeria.
I've not been to Akwa Ibom.
It's for the food. Oh no, go.
No food. I know you people are Cross River. Your food is delicious. No. I stayed in Cross River and I know.
The food, it is clean. It is green. It is beautiful. I spent, let me give you context. December last year, I spent Christmas at home and then I had a few friends, you know, join me there for the first time. I had a friend that was talking. She was like, I don't even know Glojen. That country. As in, she was saying something about Nigeria. As in, can you imagine? You will not even believe that. When I go back to that country, she thought she was abroad. You know, she was in Uyo and she was addressing Nigeria as that country.
Meaning she touched
me. So you understand what I'm saying? So I'm saying Uyo has, you know, she just kept praising. My God, I've been driving. We've driven for 2 days. I haven't seen potholes.
Okay, I got you.
So I'm saying it's beautiful.
Peaceful.
There's an airline that goes there. So you don't have to worry. It's in less than, in an hour, you're going to be in
Uyo. I'm thinking of going on a retreat too.
It
Maybe I should consider going to
a And I'm doing a book signing in December. So if that's what you want to do, I'm happy to host you. I'm good company.
All right. Okay. Look, I'm doing my master's. I want something to relax. I'll come to Akwa Ibom. I'm reaching out to your DM.
There are so many places. Okay. There are so many places, things to see. Well, when I mean, so let me not say there are so many things to see. So you don't come and then you're like, where are the things? You know, but I'm saying if you're looking for somewhere serene, somewhere to relax, somewhere to get a good feel, you know, I would recommend you stay at there's a golf resort. It is green, you know, even though I know some part of it they're still renovating, but the ambience just makes up for every other thing. And then the food, go to Akwa Ibom.
Okay, ma.
Now abroad, I have a long list because there's so many places.
I know.
There are so many places that have resonated in your book. But I would think, because I would talk about somewhere very recent, which is Tallinn in Estonia.
Okay.
And I will tell you why I loved Tallinn. I traveled around the Baltic countries in the past 5 weeks. And it was an eye-opener for me because there are places that people seldom go to.
Yeah.
I took a ferry from Finland, from Helsinki, it was a two-hour ferry. And I'm telling you, it was a cruise ship. It was nice. And then I got to Tallinn. And I spent 4 days exploring the old town alone.
4 days?
4 days exploring the old town alone. And I'm telling you, why I loved it so much was that, you know, it's modern day, but Tallinn takes you back to the medieval days.
The buildings, the food, the behavior.
The clothes. I went to a restaurant where the only form of light were candlelight. You don't eat mashed potatoes in there. It was the best food I had in the region. And then even the way the people dressing like it's...
They're still in the medieval days.
And then the way they speak to you. I came in, I'm like, excuse me, do you have Wi-Fi here? They say, apologies me, madam. Me don't know what this Wi-Fi is. As in, the role play, you know? And they take it seriously. So I loved it. It was me leaving, you know, the city.
Living in modern days and going back to the older
days. How they were even deliberate. I did the walking tour. They were deliberate about showcasing, telling you about the history and showing you as well. So that's a destination I tell you, go. And when you go, don't just go to Tallinn. Go to Latvia. There's Riga and then Lithuania. You know, I went to Vilnius, you know. So I did like a road trip from, you know, because I did the ferry and then the remaining part of it
was a road trip.
And within 3 to 4 hours, you're there. So that's a destination I'm saying everyone should go. You know,
I will soon go for my own trip. So last question, what advice do you have to give to those of us in the tourism space, that's the younger ones?
who are coming in already there than our mates, than the elder ones.
I'm saying that all of us can tell our story. You know, we all have a story to tell. You can be unique in your own way. You don't have to be like the next person to make an impact. You can be unique. You can do you. So I'm saying, let's tell our stories and let's tell it more. Let's be authentic in our storytelling, because your experience is your experience. Yeah. There are no two experiences that are the same.
So even when you guys go together.
Even when you go together. So I'm saying, let's tell our stories in a way that is authentic. And then let's encourage, you know, the younger ones, you know, to do same. You know, let's not, let's tell it. I think authenticity is, you know, is the best advice, you know.
Right. So how can people find you? How can they buy your book?
To buy my book, we're in bookstores across Nigeria, abroad, globally. Okay, Nigeria first, because we're here. You can find us, we're in Latana bookstore. You can find us at Roving Heights, we're in Roving Heights. You can find us in Uyuakwa Ibom, there's Bulldoze, you know, bookstore. There's I hope I didn't leave anyone out. You know, there's also a store in Ebony Berry in Lekki.
You can
find it. Look, you know, you can also get it from my website. You know, the e-copy is also available. We're on Apple Books, but you know, I realized that Apple Books is not available in Nigeria. So unless you have a foreign registered app, you know, and then we're on Lulu Store. You can get the you can get the soft copy. You can also get the hardback if you're
abroad. Can you share your website so we can
So my website is workaholic.com. You can connect with me on Instagram, Facebook. I am Otto Tom on Facebook. On Instagram, I am D_workaholic. On YouTube, if you have questions regarding, because trust me, I've traveled around the world. I've applied to more embassies than I can count. I have the answer to your question. Go to my YouTube channel. You would find it there. And then just use the keyword to search for the videos that you want to see. If it's not there, ask me about it. I'm happy to post. Daily, I'm looking for content. So if you ask me a question that I have omitted, I can make a video to answer that question. Go to my YouTube channel. It is the Workaholic, but you can find me as Otto Tom there.
Otto Tom.
And then you'll find answers to your visa needs.
Guys, buy the book. It's for women and men too.
Yes, sir.
So don't think men, not because of the color, say women. They say it's only guys. Guys too.
It's just written by a girl.
It's all written by a girl.
That likes pink.
That likes pink and yellow. Otto, thank you, girl. Give me a high five. Thank you guys for watching. I see you in the next edition. Bye.
And with that, we conclude our journey across Nigeria and Africa on See the World with Ajala Nene. We hope you enjoyed exploring this journey with us and that you feel inspired to discover its unique beauty for yourself. Thank you for listening. For your feedback and comment, feel free to hit us up across our socials at See the World with Ajala Nene, and you can find me personally at Ajala Nene on Instagram. Until next time, stay curious and keep exploring. Your journey and your adventure awaits you.